It's my great pleasure to welcome for the first time to Many Rivers Books and Tea, Judah Alexander. She is the developer, creator of this awesome tarot game. I mean, I don't know it's awesome from personal experience yet, but it just looks awesome here displayed in front of me. The really cool thing is that we get to actually interact with it and that we're not just going to hear it spoken about, although I hope a little bit about that at the beginning, but we'll actually have some, as it were, hands-on experience and play. So I am delighted to welcome Jude here, and I hope you will join me in doing so.
Nice welcome. Thank you so much, and thank you to Many Rivers Bookstore for having me here on this Halloween week. It's so perfect for the tarot. That's good for you all coming. A couple of you all already, you know, had a little hand in it, and I'm going to make sure that each of you get a roll of the dice and, you know, get a little bit of a tarot pick and, you know, understand how the game plays. But a little bit first about me and how it all came out. Jude Alexander, we've established that pretty well. Good. I'm originally from New Jersey. I grew up. Grew up in a family that loved to play games. We, you know, whenever the family get together, we usually do card games. You know, what were we playing back then? We were playing it all, right? Can't even think of a single thing. We played poker. I was almost thinking, should I say that? We're gamblers. Well, that's what the roll of the dice is. I think I had to get that in there. There's lots of randomness in the game. We also played Scrabble, you know, and other, you know, Monopoly and all the, you know, all the traditional games, but did that a lot. I also liked to play teacher. That was something I'd bring my friends over, and I would pretend to teach them and then give them homework. And they'd have to do their homework and turn it in to me, and I would grade it and give it back to them. That was actually a game I played as a child. Very funny, I know. I only just, you know, in kind of just looking back at, like, you know, where did this all come from? You know, I'm just sort of exploring, you know, my childhood. And I was like, that was an interesting childhood. Eventually, I grew up, I moved out here to California, and that's where I met my tarot teacher, actually, here in Sebastopol. And I had many years of creative study in a group of women. We were about 14 of us, I think, in the beginning. And we studied for so many years that at some point, our teacher said to us, okay, you all go home and you figure out something new to do with the tarot, because I've taught you everything I know, you know, pretty much.
Who's your teacher?
Yeah.
Who is your teacher?
Oh, Magic. Uh-huh. A lot of you probably know her. Yeah. And so we all went home with our assignment to go do something, and I came up with, you know, I just took a piece of cardboard and I drew a spiral and I made little spaces, and I thought, I'm going to play a game. And I started developing it from there. So that was about 17 years ago, I'd say. So that's quite a long time. I read tarot by myself before I was in, you know, informal, you know, learning. So it's been about 25 years altogether that I've been doing tarot. But about 17 years ago, I started, you know, with the board. And then 4 years ago, I went to a talk, I think in San Luis Obispo, with somebody who was teaching us to be the expert in our own field, whatever. So, you know, if you write a book, you know, about something you know, you could be the expert. And I had written this book called Back to the Kitchen. It was, you know, an inspirational guide to cooking for yourself. I'm very proud of it. It's still out there. It's still part of my repertoire. But I had the tarot game in my trunk. And in the process of having tea with this woman and talking about my book, I mentioned this game, and she said, well, take that out of the trunk. She goes, that sounds really interesting. And I took it out, and I laid it out, and right there in the cafe where we were having tea. And she says, we have to take this to New York.
Really?
You know, it's just a game I've been playing for years. Never thought about publishing it or anything. And we went to the book expo at the Javits Center in New York in 2009, I think it was, actually. And there, Shipper Publishing saw what I had done and made me an offer within 4 days of seeing it. And it all happened very fast. And by Halloween of 2010, it was in the box. It's kind of over on the counter there. It was created. It doesn't look at all like the original game, but it plays a lot like the original game. They took a lot of liberty with design and just, like, kind of went for it. Yeah, I know. She's sighing over there. It's my first experience with publishing, so what did I know? But that's okay, because like I say, it plays a lot like the original, and I think that's mostly the important thing. So let's see, what else would you want to know about that? The game itself has, I think, become more of an oracle, you know, than just a game. It surprises me all the time. I call myself the skeptical tarot reader. No matter how many years I've been doing tarot, you know, how many cards I turn over, how many people I counsel, it continuously surprises me how accurate it is. And so it's become a little bit more of an oracle because there's a lot of randomness in the game. You got the roll of the dice, you got the different spaces you can land on, there's cards on the board, there's activity cards which inspire other things to happen. You can go into a full deck, I've got blessing coins, and then there's major arcana questions, which is really what I'm most proud of. This is really kind of funny, I guess, actually, because if you can see, it's on very flimsy paper. And to me, this is the meat of the game. So if you land on a major arcana, that's a soul-searching question, right? And so you go to, like, say, if you land on the priestess, you say, you know, pick a number between 1 and 5, and if you pick number 3, it's going to ask you, when do you feel most authentic? Yeah, that's a good question, you know, and it leads into a little bit of storytelling. I say right here, you can give a one-word answer, but it's not going to be very, you know, as beneficial as giving us a little of the detail to it. It's good if the game's facilitated, because as you can imagine, there's a balance between somebody just giving a one-word answer and shutting up and not really exploring things and getting much out of it, and then on the other end, where someone's just going to tell a very long story, and it's going to get a little bit lost as well, you know. So there's a balance to getting out the information, but then not diluting it. So facilitation is good, which is what I do. But other people who have experience, you know, in tarot or just like to play games or be with their friends can also facilitate it on their own. Just keeping that in mind. So anyway, my funny point is that the publisher put, you know, like what I think is the most important part of the game is kind of on this flimsy paper, so I recommend laminating it, you know, if you get the game, you know, whatever. On the other hand, the reading sheets, which they give many of in there, they put on a glossy kind of paper, which is a little hard to write on, which is also, I think, very funny, because that's what you really want to get your notes down as you're telling stories and putting your cards in. You want to write things down so at the very end of the game, we can go back over it and review it and create, you know, the reading. So with that, I recommend making paper copies so that you can, you know, really easily write on it front and back and that kind of thing. So that was a little backwards and funny, but it's still all doable. You know, it works. What else? So the game plays on many levels. You can just roll the dice and have fun and hear each other's stories and not even write them down. You know, you don't have to do a reading if you don't want to. Just learn about each other and have some fun. Or you can definitely take lots of good notes and get a reading and create an action plan at the end, which I explain in the instructions. Call them positive affirmations. Probably most of you know that phrase. So I like to create positive action affirmations from the notes that have been taken. It's a little bit of a process, but it really works. It's really fun. And I can help with that as well. So plays on that level. You can just have fun. You can get a deep reading. You can play by yourself as a meditation. You know, just be there with the board and roll the dice and move along with the question that you have in mind. There's a place on each reading sheet that, you know, says your statement question, like you know, just pick a theme or a particular question you want. And you can just work with that on your own. You can play it even as a party game. It can be something that's set up and just people come along and just, you know, kind of roll and have a good time. So just feel like, see what's going on right now, you know, this hour. And that's about it. I'm going to see if there's any questions so far. Anything that's stimulated? Okay. Different faces. They're all sort of looking over. So I've had two women have come up. Actually, three women have come up and tried it out. I'd like each of you to have a chance. So if you want to, you want to come on up?
Sure.
You're going to do that. What's your name?
Kaylee.
Kaylee, hi.
Hi.
So how it works is you're going to roll the dice, and you can choose 1, 2, or 3 dice. That's part of the randomness.
Wow.
So you can go just short ways, or you can go like way into the spiral, you know, depending on, you know, what's happening. I should caution you and say that if you don't roll 1 dice, you have no chance of being the fool, because that's only one space, you know, so that's the only thing that...
If you don't roll...
Well, this is a one, so if you roll two dice, you're never
going to
have a fool.
Okay.
But you can become the fool another way.
So oh, all yeah. right. Okay, well, I'll roll two to see where that takes me.
Okay. But you got a seven there?
Yes.
And then you'd pick one of these polished stones. The game comes with nine polished stones. They're really lovely. And this would be a one.
Doesn't read seven. And
oh, that's seven spaces.
Uh-huh.
Right, but you've landed on the Arcana 4, the Emperor.
Oh, okay, right.
That's good. So in this case, you'd get a major Arcana question, just that very thing I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that works is you just go in there. And so your first card in your reading, if you were doing a reading, would be the Emperor.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you get right away, you've got a major Arcana
mm-hmm.
you know, to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And you would pick a number between 1 and 5. And you don't need to actually answer the question in front of the group. You know, I understand, you know, I don't know everybody, but just to get the sense of it.
Okay.
Pick a number between 1 and 5.
3.
So in this case, you'd answer, in what area of your life do you not let others in? Okay. So you can give that some thought. Like I say, you don't have to answer out loud, but, you know.
Answering questions in public.
Yeah, you don't need to at all. That's what I'm saying. Unless you're required to share, but I wouldn't expect you to. You could just internalize it if you like.
Okay.
So what happens is, each question is designed to give you a little taste of what the arcanas are about. So in this case, you know, where do you not let others in? It's referring to the, you know, the tightness of the Emperor.
Mm-hmm.
You know the crossed legs, you know,
mm-hmm.
the crossed arms, and the
mm-hmm.
holding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, okay, what am I holding,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not
mm-hmm.
open, letting
up. A little bit of rigidity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So in that way, you've now just learned something about the Emperor, even if you've never studied tarot. You know that it has, in part, something to do with, you know, holding and not
mm-hmm.
letting in. Okay, and then there are many other features. You say if you had picked number one, it would say, who or what do you protect? So then you'd learn from the Emperor, you know, as protector,
mm-hmm.
you know, and something like
mm-hmm.
that. So each time you play the game,
mm-hmm.
you never play the same way twice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've played hundreds and hundreds of times, and there's no game that's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're always picking different cards, landing on different spaces, getting different, you know, questions, so it's always different,
mm-hmm.
yeah, every time. So you're the Emperor, and then just for participating, don't take it with you, but just pull out a blessing and you can read it.
I didn't wear my glasses.
Oh, I can read it for
you.
Maybe you
can read it.
It says wit.
Oh, okay.
The blessing of wit. So the game comes with these blessing coins, and
oh.
we use them as rewards. So if someone's told a deep story, you know,
mm-hmm.
or they've, you know, they've shared in some way that's, you know,
mm-hmm.
or any reason at all, you know, you just can, you know, reward with blessing coins.
They do have the feel of a coin.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And so then you continue to draw cards and
right.
go through the whole tarot.
Exactly.
Deck.
You would have put the Emperor on your first block.
Oh, okay.
And you would have answered that question,
uh-huh.
in what ways don't you let others in, and that would create some notes.
Oh, okay.
And that's where the other players come in. Because I don't know if you've noticed this, but I have, is that when you're telling a story, you're not necessarily hearing your story.
Mm.
You know, you're sharing, and there's some good, really some magnificent points that can come out. So the other players, we look to them to help write the notes. So you're listening to the story and helping each player. So it's a very cooperative game.
And then what do you do with the notes?
So at the very end, you would read each card and read each note, and you create your own little weaving of your particular story.
Uh-huh.
If you start with a theme, like say your theme was your health or something
mm-hmm.
like that. So now the Emperor and not letting others in might relate back to your health question.
And then the other members would be taking notes.
They would just say to you what to write down. You keep your own notes.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
They'll say, oh, but you said, you know,
okay.
da da da. And you're
uh-huh.
like, oh, yeah, I did. You know,
okay.
and write it down.
So sort of keywords.
Very interactive and cooperative.
Okay.
Keywords, exactly.
Well, sounds
good.
Fun.
All right. Thanks for participating.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yay.
All right. Good. You
want to
come up next?
Okay.
I hope I'm not putting two people on the spot, but really it's the only way to really learn about the game is to jump in with it. I think there's actually almost few enough of us to actually play a whole game, but there's a couple too many. Like, it's almost there. So, okay, one, two, or three?
One, two.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you pick one of these polished stones. And the fool is number one, so.
Empress.
So now we have an empress. We had the emperor a few minutes ago. So we already know how the. Sorry about that. There you are. As you can see here. Now, do you know about tarot? Is this your first experience with it?
Yes.
Okay. Beautiful. So when you see the empress, you just kind of look at her picture. That's the instructions say. You know, take a long look at the picture, teaching you intuitive reading rather than by the book meaning. Like, I don't have anything in here that tells you empress means this. Mm-hmm. You're completely learning about the Empress just by participating with her, you know, in story. So through five?
Four.
So this one would say, from whom do you receive unconditional love? And it's, again, you don't have to answer, although it would probably be not too harmful to answer that question. But from whom do you receive unconditional love? So now we've learned the Empress is about, in part, about... unconditional love and the receiving of it, particularly. She's the mother in the deck, you know. She's the one that's holding, you know, the heart.
Okay.
Yeah. So you would learn that about her. And you would get that on your reading sheet. She'd be your first. And the person, and however you answered that, you know, you make that note.
Okay.
Okay. And then you could pick a blessing to you. How many of you do know tarot?
Sure, she's good.
Clarity.
Mm-hmm. Clarity. Very nice. Okay, good. And so that would be added to the reading sheet as well. And you'd find it's kind of amazing sometimes how the blessing coins even, you know, give you the keywords you need to tie in the whole reading.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who wants to be next?
Two.
Okay, so you're gonna roll the dice. So roll 1, 2, or 3.
We'll do 1.
Okay, here we go. You have a chance of being the fool. Okay.
Five.
Okay, and then this is your polished stone.
So this is not five.
No, so that's
this is five in the
right. You want to go five spaces, just like you do in any sort of board game.
So things like this. There's nothing.
So that's a spiral. If you landed on it, you would be going to the spiral activity.
Oh, part. I see. There's something else. Okay. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I just got
Let's go five spaces. Yeah. So now we'll learn about the activity cards. It's perfect. Thank you so much. Rolling this.
Well.
So there's little stacks, just like kind of like Monopoly has a challenge, and the you know. So these are the question cards. So you'll just pick one from there. Some people say, "Do I pick from the top? Do I pick randomly?" That's entirely up to you. Okay, do you want me to read it? Or you?
Use quartz only.
Okay, so there's a little pile on
shuffle
the board.
Shuffle and draw quartz. A card. Take a moment to look at the imagery. Imagine aloud, what might this character advise you in troubled times?
What might this character advise you in troubled times?
Okay.
So you would. This is the quartz. Everybody knows the quartz are the people or personality cards in the deck. There's 16 of them.
Like the King of Hearts,
right.
The Queen of...
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's a King and Queen,
it's not
Prince and Princess. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you look at that image and see... shake off the...
The Prince of Cups.
Prince of Cups. So you just more or less the feeling of this person would remind you of somebody or some kind of personality. And what would that person advise you in troubled times?
Imagine that this character advises you in troubled times. Mm-hmm. Looks like he's got a hurricane coming up there in the back. Mm-hmm. Lots of for cups. But he has a like a chariot with a bird. But it doesn't look like a dove of peace. It almost looks like a warlike bird.
Mm-hmm. This is the page.
Mm-hmm. That's the prince.
It's the prince of cups.
Which
and I always associate cups with love and emotion and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But this one looks troubled.
Mm-hmm. So interesting
how
that.
How would you advise in troubled times?
Right, and if this person is looking troubled to you, so what sort of advice would they give you?
It's hang on, I guess.
I like it.
He's hanging on, this thing is taking him out. Hang on, okay.
That's very good. I really like that. And you see, this is, again, not looking up the meaning of the Prince of Cups, but just answering a question and getting some keywords that you now have in your repertoire for the Prince of Cups.
That's a very different set of cards than I'm used to.
And using different, it works with any tarot deck.
Yeah.
And what I say is it's with any and many. Mm-hmm. Because you could even, say, divide the Herbal Tarot or Mother Peace or whatever your deck is that you like, Rider-Waite, and you could even put them, you know, get a bigger table, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, and have them like this. So you could even choose from a different deck mm-hmm. when you're doing this. It's just totally up to you. But now you have the hang on mm-hmm. as a keyword for your Prince of Cups. If it comes up in any of your readings, that's something that comes up. So Henning would go on.
Something's taking me for a ride.
Yeah, taking you for a ride. Well, you know, he's a Scorpio. He's Scorpionic. You know, he's going to the depths. And so hanging on is very appropriate advice. Because if you're going to go deep and down, you know, you do want to kind of hang on to something to bring you back up, right?
Do I get one of those?
See how popular they are already?
Until I get my...
let's see what you got. Right.
Generosity.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. And you were very generous with your participation, so thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So the Prince correlates to the Knight in other decks?
Well, it's it gets kind of convoluted sometimes when you're really like looking at the different
ones. It's just a Knight and a Page. Yeah.
Yeah, the Knight.
In this deck,
we have.
The King and.
You have a King and Queen and Prince.
In this one, we have the Queen and the Knight are top, and then the Princess and the Prince.
Oh. Okay.
But sometimes it's a King and a Queen. And a Knight and a Page.
Mm-hmm.
So, this, so you're right
that
there.
Deck has what then?
So what would be the equivalency in the right and the
Rider-Waite.
Rider-Waite
King, Queen, Knight and Page.
Of this Prince. Yeah.
He would be the Knight.
The Knight. Yeah.
The Knight. So that was right. And you asked.
What is the order in that deck again? Did you say
this is Knight is the elder male. Queen is the elder female, so Queen and Knight, and Prince and Princess.
So a Knight is higher than a Prince?
In this deck.
In that deck.
Right.
It's so equivalent to a king.
Right. The Knight is equivalent to the King in this.
And then Prince and Princess is equivalent to...
Like Knight and Page.
So the Page is female.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, that is, and I do explain that a little bit in the instructions. I give you a little detail to that so you can kind of refer back to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a little tricky too in making the game, you know, is because I had to just sort of dig in and choose, you know.
And this is probably a deck that's very familiar with you,
because
I know Magic totally loves that deck.
Exactly. This is the one we studied for all of those years. I don't actually use it as often as anymore. I mean, 25 years later, I use the Gaian Tarot, which I adore.
What deck is this?
The Gaian Tarot?
Yeah.
Oh, this is Aleister Crowley's Thoth.
And the cross on it, is that a particular one?
How do you say that?
Rosicrucian?
The Rosicrucian.
Never really
forget. I was wondering if that was it.
Yes. Yeah. I love this deck in that, well, of course, because I learned with it the most, but the astrology that's, you know, really deeply embedded in it. And I find that really helpful. Like, you know, linking up the Prince of Cups and knowing about the Scorpio effects, you know, really helps with the meaning and the story.
And I think Angelus Arian also uses this.
Oh my gosh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. That's a good primer. That's a wonderful book. Yeah. good. So we've seen how the activity cards work a little bit. The question cards mostly get you into the courts. I wanted a way for them not to be left out, basically, because it's really easy to, you know, miss them otherwise.
So the courts are not on the
they're not on the spiral, exactly. So if you
land
on a
question, you get to them by going through a question mark.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And the little whirly thing,
the spirals. Yeah.
You get something else then.
The spirals get you in more into the minors.
Oh, okay. The minor.
I had to cheat and look. Why are you there? And that was in the game development. You know, I didn't always have question marks, spirals, and stars, but I noticed as we played the game those things got left out a bit, and I wanted to, you know, make sure they got their fair play.
And so what's the stars?
The star is the full deck. So I find that really fun because this is all split up into suits and majors and courts. So if you go down the star, and I think, Linda, when you first came, you got a chance to, she rolled and got into a full deck, she got a star. And so then whatever full deck you have available to you, you know, again, I had so many, but I guess I didn't pull them all out.
Do you have the guy in deck with you?
No, I don't.
Okay.
The just only curious. Reason I don't, I'll be honest, is I only have the limited edition version. I didn't yet buy just like a playful edition, so it's so dear to me. I was like, I just better leave it home because I don't know. Whatever. But next time I'll bring it. So, yeah, so then you get a chance for anything can happen, and that's what I meant. Like, if you don't land on the fool because you haven't rolled a single die in the beginning, you could still pull the fool from a full deck. So it's not that there's no chance of him, you know, showing up.
So you play from two decks?
Oh, no, you only need, well, that's a good question. I always have at least the one deck separated and one full deck on the side. That's the way I like it. If you don't have two decks and you only have the one, then when you land on a star and it says use a full deck, then I just do like a random, like wherever I want to pull from. You know, it's, I mean, you still have a full deck here. It's just that it's all separated out. So most people who are playing tarot have more than one deck, I find. I mean, you know, on the whole, I know so many people, I have 200, 300 decks, you know. Crazy stuff. I don't have that many. But, you know, if you are a person with one deck, no worries. Still play. Anybody else who didn't have a turn that wants one? The ladies in the back?
I have a turn.
She got a turn when she came in, yeah. Okay, good. I think it's really the best part.
So those four piles are separated into by what?
These are the suits. So I have pentacles, wands, swords, and cups. And again, that's a thing I had to decide because not every deck, you know, some say discs. In fact, this deck says discs. But basically earth, you know, fire, you know, air and water.
And those two piles are?
The majors, major arcana, and the courts or personalities.
So those are the non-court cards in those suits.
Yes, exactly.
And the court cards are all intermixed.
Yeah, everything here is
you won't
mixed.
Find the court like, king in there.
No.
In that pile. Okay.
Yeah. Mostly because this aspect of it is how it's the learning part. So it's easier to learn them. You'll find, like if we get a spiral, that's how you would get into one of these piles. So this will get you into here. This will get you in the full deck. Questions will get you into the courts. And then on the board, you'll hit majors and activities. Some of you might have heard us singing a song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's on here. So sing a song and have others join in. Yeah.
And how does that relate to the tarot?
Well, I know. That's actually one of my favorite things. All right. I put that on there. I did it. I believe that the songs that we have in our memories and in our hearts are so tied into who we are in our stories that when you're asked in a game format like this to sing a song, you immediately have like, okay, what's in my head? And who had that experience? So it was you, right? You know, you first have something that pops up right away. I think that was...
I don't think it was me, though.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. It wasn't me. You have something that pops in your head right away. Is that what happened for you? But then you sometimes calculate, oh, perhaps that's not the song that I should say out loud. And then you kind of, so you do this whole sort of filter process. And I think that little process is all part of how it creates your reading. And very often the songs relate to the story. So even though it's like seems silly and sometimes people are like, oh, I couldn't possibly sing a song. It's like sing any song. I mean, we all have one. And a lot of times we'll get... you know, oh, make new friends, you know, keep the old, you know, one is silver one, you know, something like way back, you know, when you're a child, you know, or sometimes you get the pop songs, you know, whatever. It's just really cool to see what people have in their hearts and minds. So, you know, that's
like when you find yourself singing a particular song, and then you think about the words of the song, and for me it's always so tied into
there you go, it's you
something really...
The synchronistic synchronistic aspect of it all, you know, being asked to sing a song when you don't expect to be asked to sing a song in itself just, you know, makes something in the forefront. It's really fun. There's a couple other cool things on here too, but that's actually one of my favorite spaces. And I'm not a singer, I have no voice, so that's, you know, my own personal H-E double up cocky sticks.
Ask people to dance and perform magic, and what are their activities?
Right.
I can't wait.
Well, I know, there's some things in the cards, you know, that at some games, and that's true, if you own your own copy or whatever, I really encourage you to personalize it. Like, if there's something in here that you're just like, oh, I just don't like doing that, you know,
do you ever add to it?
And add to it, exactly.
Do you add to your
personal? That's so funny, because I wanted them to have some blanks. That actually was a request of mine, but they didn't go for that. You know, because I thought that was really true, because I think it should be continuing.
You choose.
Yeah. Okay, roll the dice. One, two, or three.
So fun. I'm going to go for three.
Oh, good. Yeah, I like to roll big. Oh, look at that. She got a four. She rolled three dice and she got a four.
Oh, my goodness.
Four, five, six.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There
we go.
Yeah.
So one pool will be one.
Okay. One, two, three, four.
We have a priestess in the room.
I
think we have a few. Okay, so you would be instructed to
hold the priestess card.
Right, take a look at her. And again, you, like you said, this is this deck, but you could have two or three other decks and pick a different priestess, but this one we have. And then you get a priestess question.
Oh, geez.
Pick a number one through five.
Five.
So this one says, what woman do you hold in your memory?
My mom.
Yeah.
I guess it's been all day, too, so that's why.
Oh.
Who would have thought? I don't see it. I just can answer that.
There you go. There you go.
Now I'll figure out why. Or not.
Or not, but that's right. But there you have it. So again, that's a one-word answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this format, of course, we can certainly allow that. But if you were in a more intimate game, you might say, well, what, you know, what particularly are you thinking about your mom right now? You know, what's going on? So, you know, we would elaborate a little bit. But we don't have to here. And you can pick up Lassie.
Oh, they are nice.
Romance.
Thank you for
I better shut up, right?
So you can see, like, all the different, you know, different pieces and parts and activities. We haven't really actually touched on everything yet, but so I think I know you picked a blessing coin but didn't really roll. Do you want to?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, if you want to. And I've got yellow left for you, but I think we may have to recycle some of them.
Okay.
Pick one, two, or three. Lucky seven.
Six, seven.
We have another emperor.
No, let's go.
I'll tell you what, yeah, I like
roll
it.
Again.
She's like, yeah, she. Well, you can roll again if you want to see. Want to go a little further into the board?
Let's just see what the other things are.
Okay, so you would you can pick from the top or randomly from the star. And then I'll tell you about the other spaces that don't come up.
So we need a blank dice, too.
A blank die.
Yeah. Use the full deck.
There you go.
Draw five cards that are...
Oh, this is an extensive one, but let's hear it anyway.
Sorry. Draw five cards at random. Take a moment to look. Begin once upon a time creating one story using all five images.
Great.
Other players may help. Record the first card drawn on the reading sheet. So five cards at random.
So this is a really an exercise in storytelling, and this one usually panics people, you know, feeling like I'm going to tell a story from five cards, but do you want to try?
Yeah,
sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so you can however you want to do it. Just pick five cards and it's random from there.
Mm-hmm.
And this really helps you with intuitive tarot, because you're just looking at pictures and you're just telling a little story from them, and you know you have to just gain their wisdom, you know, right on the spot.
So you really feel that there are no specific meanings connected with any specific cards?
Well, there are things that they tend toward more than other cards. I mean, they definitely have their domains.
Yeah.
But there's much more wiggle room than some people think. You know, because the point is, with tarot, I believe, is just to pull out the wisdom that you have inside yourself. It's your ancient wisdom that's there. It's accessible to all of us. And the tarot is a tool to access that wisdom, whether it's from something in the picture, a word that you've heard, a feeling. My new game is it's also a tarot game. It works with like moods, you actually look at the picture and detect the mood of the card, and that actually helps you draw in what you need to know. I mean, that's just one aspect of the game, but I think that it has a lot more to offer than just this means this and this means that. But I'm not negating that that's so. Of course it is, but there's much more to it. And much less. I think a lot of people think they can't read tarot because they need to know what every card means, but they don't. That's my point. You could just dig in and have fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're a pick five card. Of course, after 14 years of study, I can say that. Okay, yeah, or whatever.
One, ten of swords. Two, nine. This is the Crowley deck?
No, this is herbal.
Wow.
She's got the Ten of Swords, the Nine of Pentacles, Judgment, which is her only major in the middle here, the 20, and it's the Five of Pentacles and then the Nine of Cups. And so, again, you just want to try it? Want to do Once Upon a Time sort of thing? Or whatever your favorite intro is.
I find myself trying to remember the image that I'm used to with that particular card.
Don't do that. Okay. That's the opposite of what you're supposed
to
do.
Get it. I'm not doing that.
Use the picture. That is it. You could say, well, the Ten of Swords, I don't know. This one. Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah, you can wants to have them around.
I don't know. Yeah, go for it.
So we can see it a little bit.
You can pull the chairs around.
So we've got some a bleak landscape with blood or something dripping from the swords. Okay. But here we have, although it's winter, these are both winterish. Mm. She's dressed up.
What I recommend to do, and you can also get help from people around you, but what I recommend is you just begin with any story beginning. I know we have some writers in the room, whatever, what's your favorite intro to a story? Long, long ago, once upon a time, there was a place,
Okay.
Whatever story intro you like, and then just say what comes to mind. And get help if you want.
Oh yeah, show the pictures as you tell the story. Good.
Nice.
So, once upon a time, there was this pomegranate tree, like I have in my backyard. And
coming to her house.
And there's still pomegranates on it. And somehow the pomegranate juice has come up out of the ground and is permeating these swords, making them sweet.
That's very nice. I would encourage you to go to the next card.
Okay.
That was beautiful. So you've got pomegranate juice and permeating swords.
So does this connect to the story? Okay.
Maybe.
So we've got these dark grapes, Nine of Pentacles. Grapes. Okay, we've got pomegranates, grapes.
Mm-hmm. More fruit.
coming up through the earth, and here is this woman dressed in an outrageous Halloween costume.
It's Halloween time.
I don't know. I don't walk around much, but fondling the grapes and appreciating the fruit of the earth.
Very nice. I like that. And see, you as listeners, she's telling the story. She might not remember everything she says, but we're hearing some really cool things, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're, piqued. we're should making some
you?
Notes for you.
No.
Just if you were playing the game and making the, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So, my goodness. Well, this is a deck about herbs and growth. So.
Yeah, so everything's going to have some herbs on it.
Yeah. So, this is a golden seal in the card of judgment. So these, it's just this golden seal plant with this humongous root, very healthy plant. It's gotten so big, it's just a little out of her reach. She can't quite get it. She wants to, but she cannot. Now there's a little tombstone there, and water, and so something about death, or somebody that has passed that is somehow connected to her, not being able to reach these gargantuan leaves with the healthy root.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mugwort, Five of Pentacles.
One way to help you is to think of the whatever individual, even though they look a little different, as being the same individual. So, you know, it could
mm-hmm.
be then she, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Unable to reach her, the heights here.
Mm-hmm.
She then, you know, something like that. And you can do a little connecting in words, you know, for your story.
Unable to reach the heights,
mm-hmm.
she gets a little depressed. She couldn't do it. It's winter. She blew it. She thought she blew it. But, she doesn't see the fruit anymore.
Everything's dark, right?
It's dark.
Mm-hmm.
There's still this plant in front of her, but it's not nearly as big and juicy as and there's no fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And so she couldn't get it for whatever reason.
But ultimately,
not the
facilitator part
of the story.
This is actually quite a good reading. It's amazing.
Okay. Nine of Cups.
Yeah, it's looks like pretty good stuff going on there, right? So ultimately, she.
You gonna tell me?
No, just
oh,
want to
okay.
see. I just wanted to see if you. Yeah.
Ultimately, she's a happy girl.
That's right, she's a happy girl. She got through the dark times and ended up happy, didn't she?
Not only did she get through the dark times, but the message is, if you notice, her cheeks are very rosy and red. So, what she really got from this whole experience is that it's not about effort and grabbing the fruit. You are the fruit, and
that is really good.
And she gets it, and so she's no longer striving to reach anything.
That's really beautiful. I mean, I just look at that card. And Nine of Cups is really the happiness card in the deck.
Mm-hmm.
That's and the Ten of Swords is really, you know, when you are in complete and utter despair, you know, everything is a nightmare.
That's the one down the back.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah, so I mean, I just those that card pick, you know, how she went from the Ten of Swords to the Nine of Cups, you know, and I mean, that's just a really tremendous journey right there. So this would have been the card that would be your reading, but that has a very different power to it, having gone through the story and knowing that you come out here. It's not just like, oh, I've got the Ten of Swords. You know, you really found some beauty in there. I mean, the pomegranate coming up and coating the swords, you know, which is, you know, in itself just a very positive way to look at that card.
Don't forget she's used the word sweet.
Yeah, Yes, sweet.
Sweetness of the punch.
That's right. See, and that's where it becomes very important in the game to have the listeners. You know, that's a. This is one of the more difficult activities, and this is one of the ones some people say, "Well, I don't want to do that one." You know, and that's another thing. If you come up to an activity and you're like, "Oh no, I don't want to do that," put it back and pick something else. That's the whole nature of the game. It's very flexible. Very, you know, you want to keep it light and fun. Because I think it's through play that we really reach our deepest insights. You know, like, this was very, very courageous of you. You must pick another person.
Oh, yeah. Pick a box.
And in this part of the game, I would bet that every player around the table would throw her a blessing coin for having accomplished that story.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, I mean...
You actually keep your blessing coins throughout the game, and then...
Yes, and
so
you can
have
share...
the option of tossing it.
And I like to even deal out, like, 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever to each player, so you have a little treasury of your own to play with, and then you can have the extra treasury. Just keep them flowing. So, yeah, what'd you
what
get there?
Alertness.
Alertness. Okay, very good. All right.
I didn't fall asleep.
You didn't fall asleep in the middle of your story. Thank you so much. That was wonderful.
We haven't had any of our men's work.
I know, I was going to think if there was time, if like it's 8:25, you guys want to have a roll?
I think the three of them should pretend like this is
sit down
and play with each other.
They want to see you in action. It's entirely up to the men. Yeah. I can't force them. I've had women do primarily play the game, but I've had my son, my husband, my best friend's husband play, and they always want to know how can they win.
Oh,
that's really true. Well, how do you win
this
game?
How do you?
So for that, and then we have a special way. you have to arrive at the universe first. Well, you hardly ever do arrive at the universe unless you play one of the very long games where you roll really high numbers.
So you're not in the universe.
They really can't win. What's that?
Yeah,
but the universe, arrive at the universe. It bothered my girlfriend's husband. It bothered him enormously that there was not a winner's clear. Couldn't even deal with it at all. Like, I'm sorry, it's cooperative. That's how it is. There's lots of alternative ways to play. Once you've played it this straightforward way, kind of going from the tail and through. But then I say you can always start at the universe and work your way backwards. Mm-hmm. You can. One of my favorite ways is tarot. You know, I play tarot a lot, so I quickly want to do it differently. But like picking the majors, I'll pick at random. I got the priestess, but she is near the beginning, so I land on her a lot. But you might like get the sun card or something, and that would be in the middle, towards the end of the game. And then you decide. Do you want to go out to the tail or go into the universe? Just to give yourself, just landing in different places, on the board, so you don't get tired. There's an infinity space, which nobody landed on. Lemniscate, right? Mm-hmm. It's an infinity sign. And that one is free will. So when you land on that, it's just that, free will. You can pick from any place on the board that you want or from the full deck. You can, just decide what you want that space to be about. In the original game, we used to get up and get a snack, dance about the room or something. I mean, it could be as fun and light or as serious as you want it to be, but there's three of those on the board, so you get a little free will. My funny thing about that one is, in the new game that I created, I took away free will because I had so many people land on that and just freeze. They absolutely couldn't choose an activity to do it. I'm like, there's so many choices. Or you could just do anything. You could roll again. You could do whatever. And they would just freeze. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So in the next game that I created, I don't have it on. So I always laugh. Took away free will. There's also on the board, here's one that says, tell the person to your left something you admire about them. So that just adds positivity to the game. And receiving and giving blessing coins. Yeah. So do you want to roll? You played one day when I was here. But
I think I'm here.
You're okay? Sorry?
Sure.
Come on. Okay, so I think what we're going to do is recycle and polish them so you can pick them. where we want. And one, two, or three dice.
So.
Okay. Whoops. That always happens. Should I re-roll? Yeah. Or just that one?
However you want. You got a low number two. I know sometimes rolling three doesn't really help. But fool would be number one, unless you want to start the universe. You want to try give that a try? Hmm.
Oh.
So. Okay, we might have you roll again. So this says give a blessing coin to each player. Mm-hmm. So in this case,
thank you very much.
Yes, for a blessing is all about.
Okay.
Should get the generous coin.
Nice to do that.
Yeah. And you got bigger by a bigger number, right?
All right.
As well, so you can kind of keep going the same way.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, perfect. You got a spiral, because I don't think we've seen one of those. So mm-hmm. That's perfect. So you can pick on the top or random. Read aloud. So
you should read aloud. We're all listening.
You are? Select the Ace of Cups. Dive in, feel the fullness of your heart. Now tell a story of what you love about life.
So you go to the Cups file, which is here, and some, as a facilitator, I quickly pick the Cups file and get it out for him, you know, thing. And you look at that. And so now you're learning that the Ace of Cups can be about diving in and loving life. And of course you can share or not share, decide.
Well, I mean, I like the image. It's kind of, it reminds me of the Grail.
Mm-hmm.
So it just works on a lot of different levels. It's sort of, to me, this is like an image of reality itself. Once you get past, you know, all your inner obstacles.
So you might love about life is that chance, that opportunity to get past your obstacles.
Yeah.
And really. Okay, that's wonderful. Good. And then you would put that on your reading sheet if you were, you know, doing it. You can go right there on that part. And then you can go, what's your reading?
Alertness.
Alertness came back again. I guess we really need that. Everybody be aware out there when you leave. It's probably children in the street and such. Well, very good. Thank you for that.
So speaking of children, Jude, right?
Yes.
J-U-D. What is the youngest age you've had found success?
I have played with... I played with my 5-year-old, but that's a little bit... For most people, I mean, I can do it because I... We'll just sort of redo the question a little bit if I need to, so young. But I think the 11-year-olds and up, especially the girls, you know, mm-hmm. I've had some boys play, they just adore it. They absolutely adore it. They, you know, it's familiar enough, the idea of rolling dice and moving a playing piece, you know, it feels like a game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And looking at pictures, I mean, using their imaginations, that's right up their alley, telling stories. They love to tell stories. I'll usually select a deck that's a little more kid-friendly, although not absolutely necessary, but there are some decks out there that are just more kid-friendly and, you know, have images that they're more easily can tell a story from. So, but not, you know, but it's up to you. But 11, 12, 13-year-old girls, really nice, really, really nice. You know, then, yeah, every age up to there. And families, very nice. You learn about the children.
How many people is a good number to play?
I think the best games are if you're playing with 4 or the most 5. Mm-hmm. I think you get more turns and more in-depth with your stories. 3 is also very nice. Couples, play as a couple. I facilitated couple games and got, gets a little deep, actually, you know, usually, you know.
You're facilitating a lot.
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly, because, you know, they're intimate with each other and they have, you know, they know a lot of each other's stories, but then there's certain moves that might bring something up that will, you know, bring something new out, so it's pretty interesting. But 4 or 5 people is a nice game, you know. And like I said, I've played up to, I think, what was it? was there with the thing. It was like 18 people in the room that we played. But that was really a party. You know, there was like food over here and music, and you know, there was different things going on, and the game was just like part of the atmosphere, you know. But it worked. It was pretty cool.
So it sounds like you you tried to avoid some of the difficult cards.
No, not necessarily. Why do you say that? I should ask.
Something you said.
Like the Ten of Swords?
Yeah.
And you're the one that found the positive aspect of it, which was great. Because I think the thing about the tarot is there's not good or bad or negative or positive cards.
Yeah.
You know, by showing you something so presumably negative, you actually came to a place where you wanted to see the other side of it. And that is part of what the tarot is doing for you personally in that moment. You know, so it just works that way. There's, again, you know, like I say, you can take out some of these things because, just as an example of something difficult, so I think the Five of Wands, for instance, it's in here. Of course, it's in the last place I'll look. this one, pick the Five of Wands and tell a story of the time you felt stuck or trapped in some way. Give us a description of the way out. You know, so then this one might call to mind, you know, a difficult period of time in your life, you know, where you were stuck or trapped. So it doesn't exactly, that's what I mean, it doesn't exactly avoid the difficult cards. Okay. It's just that very often, I think we do look to the positive, you know, like we will just try to pull it out of wherever it is. So even if a card might indicate something negative, you might find something positive in it. I put a lot of positive energy in the game. You know, I'm a positive thinker, you know. I guess I get
a lot from the challenging cards, too.
Yeah, they're
really
all there.
Really a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, you obviously do, because like the Ten of Swords is your card in that reading. You know, that, I mean,
probably if I had the image of it in the deck I'm used to, it would have been a whole other.
yeah, that's true. That's true. That's another thing about, I mean, as far as being a
different slant.
Yeah, as being a learning tool, if you have a deck you've never used, or you have a friend come over who brings a deck that you've never seen, that's how that's really where you get things going and moving, you know, because you're looking at images you're not used to. You don't get stuck in your perceived notion of what that Ten of Swords is, you know, it's like that, you know. So that kind of thing, you know. I think it's really good to use different decks ones you don't know to start with, because then you don't go like, oh, that's this and I know what that means. Very often when I'm facilitating, I have to say, don't tell me what the card means, tell me what the picture shows you, because that's how you play the game. I mean, otherwise you wouldn't need the deck at all, you know. I mean, almost, you know, if you weren't looking at, you're not looking at the pictures, you know. You just need the name of the card, right? Any other questions?
It just occurred to me that in facilitating this, that maybe you've had some unusual experiences of people getting in touch with intuitive knowledge or getting a, you know, some inner wisdom or direction, and I was just wondering if you could share a couple examples of that.
Countless experiences. What always amazes me is, especially people who have no tarot knowledge, I think they actually get more of that than someone who's been studying the cards for a while, because they do get stuck in their mind about what the cards are all about. I don't know if I can see if I can pull up a story. I have to say, I don't have very good memory. I know that I've had these experiences, but pulling them up is another one. I mean, I've had people who, you know, cry, you know, because they've, you know, something's been revealed to them. All right, I think that reminded me of something. I was doing readings at a store in San Luis Obispo, just a little table like this, I sit, and it's like art after dark. I don't know if we have that in this area, but people are out at night, you know, they just stop by. And, you know, very casual, very fun atmosphere. I think there's wine or beer, you know, over here or something. And it was actually the sing a song. She landed on that. And
in that process of having to come up with a song and sing, she remembered that as a young girl, she had wanted to be an opera singer. She'd actually lost that dream. You know, life took her in whatever direction it went. So that's not even tarot related, but like it's, that's what I say, like the game is its own entity. It's taken her in some direction, to some relationship, and this and that, and whatever. And now she found herself in a place in her life where she could actually choose to do something new and different. And it hadn't occurred to her to sing, or to attempt to sing. I mean, obviously I think opera singing, I mean, that's probably a pretty tall order. But she hadn't even considered it until that game asked her to sing a song. Well, that was pretty amazing for me.
Sort of a breakthrough.
Yeah, really a breakthrough, yeah. And I think there's probably a whole bunch of those kinds of things where that's what kind of like, even like an activity card, you know, might ask someone to do something really kind of wacky. I think I have one that's it's in the wands area where you're asked to either like look at the card and then create a dance or a poem or a song or do something artistic or creative. And those kinds of things have gotten people to be like, oh yeah, I forgot, I used to do poetry. You know, like I dropped that years ago, and oh wow, I get this opportunity to kind of try to do that again. So, you know, lots of little examples like that, yeah.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, thank you for the question. Yeah, that's good. Okay, Rob, you're not getting in?
I guess I could, because we have time.
Yeah, and then you could do your closing statement. That could work out nicely.
I may need help with the transition there, but...
okay, that's good. So you would select one, two, or three dice.
That's a lot.
11, yeah, and then you... Pick one of these polished stones, and you can either start at the pool or the universe. We're shaking things up.
Oh, well, I'm going to start at the universe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Infinity!
You got it. All right. Free will.
What you have eliminated.
in the new edition, this one still has it. Get it while it lasts.
1.0 still
held. So any aspect of the game or anything that you know want to do here is absolutely up to you.
Really? Oh, that's
really?
That's what that
it's
one.
It's free will. I know people don't believe. That's what I mean. It's like they don't even know. There's major arcana questions too.
Well, why don't we do something? My exercise of free will is to ask you, since we haven't gotten into major arcana stuff.
We did a little bit, but that's okay. Continue.
I'll ask you to pick an illustration of major arcana that will be relevant to me.
I think I would do it in this way. So I will select a card at random. Tarot readers love to do that.
Exactly. That's my experience with tarot readers.
Yeah. Now, do you want to select it or do you want me to select it for you?
I'll select it.
Okay, good. All right. Okay.
But I want you to interpret it, not
oh,
me.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be happy to. And do you want to shuffle them or you want
no,
to
No, no,
them?
I see it right there. I see
okay.
the one I want.
All right, good. Okay.
It's a private thing we're all watching.
It's his free will.
Nothing to hide here.
He chose the lovers.
Aww.
There it is. Okay. And so this is a Gemini. There's the choice. Mm-hmm. The choice. And what I think we'll do is, what did you? This is your role, right?
Yeah.
So 6 and 5 is 11, which reduced to 2. So I'm going to see what number 2 is here.
Okay.
And I love to play with numbers. Oh.
You're bringing numerology into this.
I'm going to tell you something, because what's the main thing that I picked out of this one? I said Gemini and about choice. Mm-hmm. And then I did that little numerology thing, and then that number 2 is, what major choices are you facing? And that's the question that I ended up with. So that's the kind of synchronicity that happens in this game. That how can I can't make that up. That's just weird. So this would... So that choice, and what major choices are you facing? And again, we're in a public forum here, so you don't really have to answer, but I would ask you to think about it and to consider it. And
I already have been, actually.
You have been.
This is an ongoing meditation of late, actually.
So there's really nothing that could have come up except for this and that question, right? Because that's really what's going on for you. And what I like to say is that when the major arcana come up, what's important to note is that they're the soul card, so you pay attention to those. When you're running into minor arcana and the personalities, they'll tell you things, and they'll move your story along. But when you reach the major arcana, when they come into your life, they're like, okay, stop and pay attention. This is important. Let's do this now. Let's not put this off. And so it's like calling to you to say, you know, get on it, do the pros and cons, you know, eliminate whatever you need to eliminate and make, you know, make it the decision. You know, so it's like throwing that in your face, basically. In a gentle way. Fizzle lovers. So, yeah.
Well, it fits because part of the way that this meditation invitation has been arising for me is to... is every night I go into our meditation room and I sit and meditate on the picture of my teacher, mm-hmm. and that relationship is as intimate as you could mm-hmm. have, and so that's been part of how I'm seeing this as sort of validating the process that I'm engaged
beautiful,
in.
Beautiful to continue on that,
right.
that journey. Very good. And then, you know, if I was doing a personal game, which, you know, I do my tarot readings with the game. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't do just straight tarot readings with just the deck anymore. So, you know, what I would do with this, if I were doing a tarot reading with you, is then we might then go into a full deck some more and try to get some of the steps, you know, that are coming up ahead.
Right.
You know, but
got
just
it.
Kind
yeah.
of launch
as in
there.
A standard reading, actually.
Yeah. So, like, that's basically going off board. So that's what I'll do. Like I really do. I start on here, and we see what it's throwing
okay.
us.
Okay, I brought you guys off board.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then go from there.
Well, so what do you mean? Then you go into the full deck.
Just if I was doing a one-on-one
right,
reading.
So what would that look like?
You know, so just in any tarot reading, you know how we'll often turn over, you know, card after card, sort of, you know, finding the reading and the story.
Do a particular layout,
yeah. Well, and I'm intuitive, so I just do it to the point that it makes sense. You know, we'll talk about the next card, and then we'll see if it brings up any other points that need to be clarified. Mm-hmm. And I mostly stop at three cards. Very occasionally, you know, we'll go into four, five, or six, you know, like that. But I'm not one of those readers that likes to put, you know, a zillion cards out on the table. Mm-hmm. I don't think it, in the end, does very much good for the client. You know, and come back and get some more.
So you then, he would pick a card from the deck
mm-hmm.
and then talk mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah.
And then if there was any unresolved anything, then you pick another
might go
card.
Again. Or roll the dice again. And mm-hmm. I've done that too. That actually works really well too. We could even just say, okay, well, let's roll and see where it takes us from there. Maybe not just go straight into the deck. I leave it just how I feel in the moment, you know, for that. Yeah, and it works pretty well.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah, you had warned me.
I'm going to have to go.
Well, I think that's great, unless there's any other questions. I really appreciate so much you all, your courage mm-hmm. in coming up and rolling dice and playing. I think that illuminated everything quite well.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, on behalf of Many Rivers, thank you so much.
You're
for
welcome.
Showing up.
That's mm-hmm.
awesome. And I think it's actually an example of creative imagination to have. I mean, you told a story about how you, as a child, been engaged in games and you came up with your own and you didn't think to share it, but then the universe pulled
mm-hmm,
you to
mm-hmm.
do that. So I just think it's an interesting manifestation of that kind of creative process that.
Oh.
I think the tarot is actually intended to connect mm-hmm. people to.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, is that I felt like there was nothing else I could do but to make it happen, you know,
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
getting it published, it just became this sort of like force that was beyond myself, you know, so I could get this out. So, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. So, I will, seated for maybe the first time ever.
Sure.
Thank you all for coming tonight. John's just put the donation bowl over there. We encourage you to contribute to it to help support our speakers and also to maintain this space for future such events, the list of which I told you about earlier. And have a wonderful Halloween. By the way, I should remind people that if you have goblins, ghoulies, and ghosties tomorrow, with the Sebastopol Downtown Association, a lot of the businesses, including ours, are having trick-or-treating candy and stuff like that from 4 to 6 p.m. tomorrow afternoon on Halloween itself. So please do come by and bring whoever. If you want to get dressed up, great. I'm going to tell Jim. I'm going to get Jim in a costume. Well, maybe
right.
Not. He's gonna go. He's gonna go put a different cap on.
Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen again. Thank you.
Very fun. Thanks, Linda.
All right. Thank you. And of course, we have the tarot game for sale.
Yes, it's for sale. That's
absolutely.
Right.
And a great Christmas gift it would be.
Yeah. And if anybody wants any, you know, anything from me, you know, on email, whatever, or my website or anything, I can, you know, take your name and send that to you as well. I don't do business cards.
Wonderful,
yeah. Just basic, covers everything.
She uses the Crowley deck.
Yeah, and so it is this deck, yes. Exactly. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what we were talking about.
Okay, yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
I'm also interested in your other game.
Yeah.
It's rumored maybe more connected to stories about that are on an emotional plane.
Exactly.
I could facilitate better that level.
I think you would really like it.
But I don't know.
I almost brought in a show that I just didn't want to diversify it.
Well, we wouldn't have gotten the guys for sure, huh?
Right. Yeah, if you want to give me any contact information, I'll make sure you
hear about the game. It's not ready yet?
No, well, I have it. I can make it.
That's what you'll be missing, but I'm glad you guys are going to
do that. Never imagined. Yeah.
But I did. I think Jim enjoys.
I collected a bunch of the songs. So a lot of them.
Yeah. Oh, really?
A woman will have written a song that it's not very good. Well, you hear it, you know, and it's gorgeous. And I do it on the computer and get it notated. And then I go, they have the book.
I was going to say, it's here, isn't it? I can feel it.
And then there's a graphic with each song and where it came from.
Yeah. Like this certain word she doesn't want me to use.
It's well, you're literally.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm here. Well, yeah. I think we all have.
Quick, before she goes away.
Right.
I wouldn't be that opposed to it if I would only have one copy myself.
Of the games?
Yeah. I spent 4 years in psychology. I used to keep cases of them and tell them how my case, but now that's why I came to Many Rivers.
Which one did you elicited that?
So I really only have the one copy.
Oh my god.
So I don't get kind of only one copy because it's the last one.
Couldn't you take one from their step?
Well, no, they buy them. I would offer definitely, if you like bought a game, I would like offer you like a free facilitation or something like that, where I would come with one group of people together and do something like that. You know, I can do something of myself, but monetarily, I don't think I can do it.
Yeah. Okay.
So I apologize for that.
Okay.
But I.
It's funny when you give up something precious to you to a third party.
Little Weebooks.
Whatever changes
when they first saw that.
Because
it didn't look at anything like
I'm
that.
I'm curious what your original looks like.
I need to do is post those pictures on my website.
How cool is that?
Is it art agent?
Yeah.
Chess club.
Do you have any I think that is something that would be really fun for me to do, is to put the original picture.
I don't know
why I hesitated.
That's
the reason I didn't do that.
Oh, don't hesitate.
But now I think it would
I
be
think it's important
after all
to have
years.
Your vision of your original vision.
I heard it was.
The very original one was on a piece of white cardboard with a purple spiral. But it didn't fall from there.
Here's the kind of cover of my book.
My first husband was a kid. Very good. Okay. So
and maybe about a year ago, I did a presentation here about my book, and I sang the songs, and it was great.
Oh, that's wonderful. Very, very good. Well, you were so brave tonight. I thought for sure you're like, no.
No secret.
Nice to meet you.
There's something about pomegranate juice dripping down.
Yeah. You know, I said blood at first, but then I thought, it doesn't have to be blood.
I get my table full up.
I spend part of every day now seeding the pomegranates and juicing them, maybe.
Thank you. me think that was perfect. Was that all right for you then?
Oh, that was lovely.
Yeah.
I thought it was. I think people had a great time.
I think they did too.
Yeah.
I guess it's not. And they're not like numbered
anymore. Not in any way. I mean, that one's open. Yeah, this one's not.
Okay. Well, thank you for stopping the game.
It was a wonderful evening.
Thank you. I thought it was lovely.
Yeah, really good. You guys have a happy Halloween.
Can you, we owe you
something. Oh, yeah, yeah, hold on.
Will you give me something for that?
Yeah. Don't go yet.
Don't go yet. Okay. All right, I'm standing by.
Quite, yeah.